Let me invite you to stand, take your Bibles, and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, again you have heard our desire. We ask, Lord, that you would draw nigh to each one of us. And as we commit to spending time with you each day, help us soul to walk in your footsteps, keeping your statutes, and honoring you with our faithfulness. Now as we worship again, I would ask, Lord, that you'd be with me today. Be with our congregation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. Actually, 23. Through 26. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We are going to participate together in the communion service this morning. I guess that thing does turn a little bit. It has been said that a picture is worth a thousand words. We take pictures to help us remember, especially birthdays, Christmas, you know, on special occasions, vacations. We take these pictures, you see, to heighten our memories so we can remember. You know, this week, as I was preparing for today, I began to think about, you know, go back. I was remembering when we began our ministry in Northern Ontario. And I thought about what it was like there in the winter. Oh, it wasn't unusual to have, you know, 12 to 15 feet of snow. Then with the drifts, you know, when the wind comes, you might have 30 feet of snow. I've seen it at times when, you know, you could walk along and sit on the top of a telephone pole. Or you could be walking along and there's a tree that's just under, you know, the tip of a tree is just under the snow. And where you walk, where you tread on that tree, the snow is not very strong. And down your foot goes, you know. You catch yourself so you don't go all the way. Of course, the branches stop you also. But these are some of the memories. I remember one Sabbath afternoon, Don and I and both boys, on Sabbath afternoons, we would go out to one of the provincial parks. And up in northern Ontario, there is some beautiful Algonquin Park. You may have heard of that particular park, but we used to visit another one up in Timmins, Ontario. And remember one Sabbath afternoon, we were out there. The sun was shining brightly, and usually when the snow falls, then if the snow is damp and it freezes, you will get a crust on the snow. And if you can get 3 to 5 inches of crust, you know, you can walk, ride your bicycle, drive your car. You can do just about anything on the snow. But, of course, we don't advise you to drive your car on it, because if you're out off the main road and you're on the snow and you come to, you know, where this tree is just under an inch or so under the snow, down goes your wheel or whatever. But I remember we were out there after a snowstorm, and it froze that night, and the boys, you know, they couldn't wait to get out on the snow. But I remember Donna, she would go out, and every step she would make, break through the snow. Well, not just her, me too. We would break through the snow, but the kids could run all over, and they were having a great time and laughing at us because we couldn't quite walk on it. And I remember, you know, helping Donna get back up on the crust, and you're taking, you know, the steps so you don't go down. And these are just some of the memories, you know, pictures. We humans, we need all the help we can get when it comes to remembering, don't we? Did you ever go back and look at some of these pictures, you know, when the kids were small and as they were growing? And these pictures can trigger all kinds of memories, things that you have forgotten. Proverbs 10:7 makes an interesting observation. It says, "The memory of the righteous is blessed." The memory of the righteous will be a blessing. Folks, you will only be blessed if you store good things in your memory. If you store awful things or things that are hurtful, you don't feel blessed at all, do you? But the memory of the righteous will be a blessing, it says. And in order to have that blessing, you must store good things in there. And remembering Jesus is one of the finest things that you can remember. His birth, his childhood, his ministry, his death. These are, and when you read the scripture, these then refresh your memory of things that you have learned so long ago. It keeps Jesus in remembrance. Prison is the last place from which you expect the letter of encouragement, but that's where Paul writes his second letter to Timothy, and originates from prison. And it comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would like to turn with me and read it with me, read along with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first 26 verses. In fact, when the context, if you look at Timothy chapter 1, Paul, of course, he says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's writing to Timothy, his son, and he's now writing from prison. In chapter 2, he says, "You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So, Paul is writing to Timothy. In verse 2, he says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." You know, in sharing the gospel, that's what it's all about. In that we would teach others so that they can go out and teach others. You know, you have a circle of friends that I know nothing about, or a circle of friends that I may never have an opportunity to meet, or never have time to meet with them. But if you take God's word, you begin to study it and drink it in, you will have something to share with others. You begin to teach others, and they will begin to teach others. Verse 3 says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." When you become a Christian, nobody ever said that it was going to be easy. In fact, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior and starting to walk with Him, you usually meet the devil head on. And as long as you're faithful, walking with Jesus, one day soon, the devil will become discouraged and he'll leave you alone. But not for long. He's studying you. And when he thinks that he's found one of your weaknesses, he'll come knocking on your heart's door. He'll present a temptation before you that will cause you to fall. And then he's going to point his finger and say, "Well, I told you so. You're not a very good Christian. Look what you did. Ha ha ha." That's what the devil does. Verse 4, "No one engages in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained." Now, it doesn't say that Paul is an evildoer, but people accused of doing evil because he presented the gospel. He was thrown in prison for that. Therefore, verse 10, "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruins of their hearers. Be diligent to present yourself, approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hermeneus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patience, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snares of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." It's good counsel. Avoid foolish babbling, youthful lusts, ignorant disputes. We need to do everything that we can to remember Jesus. Today, as we celebrate the communion service, this service was made by Jesus himself to help us remember him. He also instituted the foot washing service also. If you looked at John chapter 13, verse 14 and 15, he says, "As I have washed, someone else's feet, you should do the same thing you should do the same thing also. He wanted us to wash away the alienation, the jealousy, the that is created within us, you know, every day as we work together. The story is told about a married couple, and it wasn't long before a little girl was added to this union. The little girl grew and blessed, and there was joy in an abundance in that house. But suddenly, suddenly, tragedy struck. The darling daughter was killed. This destroyed the happiness of that home. Their hearts were grieved, and as time passed, the husband and wife grew further and further apart. Their love for each other wasn't the same, and finally, because their love had grown so cold, they decided to separate and filed for a divorce. Just before the divorce was to become final, they were both at their house going over the various items that they had accumulated together. They were deciding who was going to get what. By mid-afternoon, the story goes on, says that they were tired, so they stopped to have a cup of refreshments. And I don't exactly know what that cup of refreshments might have been, but I like to think it was probably green tea or something that was healthful. But while they were resting there, their eyes lighted up on a little pair of red shoes that belonged to that little girl. The reminder of their precious daughter softened their hearts, and before long they were holding each other's hands, weeping together and hugging each other. You see, God had convicted them of their mistake. They got back together. The marriage was saved. The little red shoes was the turning point in their relationship. The communion service should be the turning point in our lives. Just like these little red shoes, the communion service is designed by Jesus Himself to help us remember what He did for us. Like we, when we go and open that photo album, and you see, the pictures of that vacation or that birthday party or that happy time, you are reminded of how good it was. Folks, as we participate in the communion service, we are to do this in remembrance of Him. It gives us an opportunity to remember the birth this time of year. All Christianity of every Christian church is celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior. Even those who aren't Christians, there is opportunity to share some goodwill, to tell others about Jesus and that He's coming, that He's coming again. He says, when we participate in this service, we do it that we might remember Him. Today, as you enter into the contemplation of Jesus, let it be a reminder to bring us back to a deeper relationship with Him. Give Him your heart. You will not regret it.